Today, I will be reading James 1, 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord.
It's a great, great, great verse to start before the preacher gets up, if anyone lacks wisdom. That's good. Yep, that's me. Well, greetings from Tipton, Oklahoma. I do appreciate the opportunity to be back. I'm not going to obviously talk about Tipton Home today. I'm going to talk about Luke chapter 10. If you want to get there, go ahead and turn there. We'll be there in just a minute. One thing, though, I do want to say is we are in need of house parents. If you know of anybody that would like to serve in that ministry or that mission, please let us know. We are in desperate need of a set of house parents. It might not be somebody here today, but you might know of somebody or know of somebody. Just please have them get in contact with us, because we could use the help. Luke chapter 10 is where we're going to be today. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 that love is a lot of different things. But one of the things it says that love is kind. What is kindness? Kindness is love in action, is what it is. It's not a feeling. It's something you do. It creates feelings, but it's not an actual feeling. It's something that you do. And Jesus told this story here in Luke chapter 10 of the Good Samaritan. He tells this story, and we're going to show in this story how love is something that you put into your actions. Presidents have even used this parable as they thought that the country, President Bush, had thought that this country and the inaugural address where the country needed to go. It's a very famous parable. You have Good Samaritan Hospital. You have Good Samaritan laws. You have Good Samaritan all sorts of things. And so it all comes from this. Jesus tells this thing about three travelers who are going down a road from Jerusalem to Jericho. And I've told even today, you can see the cracks and crevices of this road, that you can see how there would be robbers there. There's three travelers going down this road, and they encounter a crime scene. And all of them react differently. Let's go ahead and read it, and then we'll get into our scripture. It goes like this: and behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to... verse 25. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test. Teacher, what shall we do to inherit eternal life? He said to them, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and with your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus said, a man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him, and he bound him up, his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I'll repay you when I come back. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. So like I said, this is an incident where we have three guys that encountered this guy, this man who had been robbed, stripped, left half for dead. And it says that just they were going down there. Now, I believe the first guy is the guy that encounters him. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. It's the keep my distance attitude. Do we ever do that? We don't want to get too close to people, because if you do, I might get involved in their problems. We don't want to get too close to anybody, because, you know, I want to keep everybody at arm's length. Let me tell you what this is, guys. You've used it even today. And again, I said this in Bible class. I'll say it again today. I'll say it again now. I don't know you, so you can't fire me. And I don't work for you, so you can't fire me. So if I say something that offends you, believe me, I didn't mean to offend you. I don't know you to offend you. But You did this today. There's people you keep it on. Let me give you this example. Hi, how are you? Fine, you good. That's it. That's it. We're not going to, you know, that's the whole of our, and that's okay for a lot of interaction. But I'm saying there's a lot of people in our lives we keep at arm's distance. That's what that guy did. He just walks by on the other side. Don't want to get involved. Don't want to do it, you know. Pretty easy attitude to adopt, isn't it? It's an easy attitude to adopt. But have you ever noticed, have you ever figured out a way from go to work to home? And you stop at the same place every day, or maybe you run into different people and they're hurting people. They're people that need your help, that need something from you. And you figure out a way to just separate from them. You see them all the time. Yeah, that's the you know, lifestyle of avoidance, to keep my distance. The second one is this, curious but uninvolved. If you go back into the original and really study that there, he actually gets closer to the guy. Maybe he goes over and even looks at him, the Levite. You know, he wasn't a jean salesman. He was a temple assistant, what he was. And he says he goes over and looks at him. But this guy's worse. You know, I think the second guy's worse. If you, like I say, study the original text in there, and you'll get the idea this guy goes a little bit closer. You know, you're feeling pretty self-righteous about that. I'm not going to go over and look at somebody half dead here and just, yeah, that's not good. I think I'll walk away. But we do that all the time, don't we? We're curious but unevolved. You say you don't do it? Really? How many times have you slowed down for a wreck on the highway? Hang on. When it was on the other side of the road. I did. Almost came to a complete stop yesterday coming out of Lawton, Oklahoma. There was a wreck on the other side. Why were we slowing down? We want to look. Anybody get hurt? Anybody get killed? Anybody get in trouble over that way? Yeah. We want to see the other problems and we want to slow down and gawk at them, but we don't want to do anything about it. Oh, how you... Don't raise your hand. Isn't it a lot easier to gossip about somebody else's problems than do something about them? Yeah, it is. Nowadays, we got something called social media. We can comment. We can be keyboard warriors. But how many of those comments are actually doing something about it? I think Nelson Mandela said it best, or Gandhi or one of them, but it's biblical. Be the change you want to be in the world, you want to see in the world. Why don't you start being the change? You do something about it. You get involved. But we don't, do we? We read the comments and we can gossip about them. But that's why things like, you know, all the social media and all those things are, you know, that's why they're so popular. Because we can sit there and gossip about them, but we don't have to do anything about them. Third response is where we'll spend the time today, obviously. That is the Good Samaritan. A Samaritan who was traveling came upon the man, and when he saw him, he had compassion or took pity on him. If you want to really and truly, if we want to really and truly grow in love, we're going to do what the Good Samaritan did. Number one, the first thing he did is start seeing the needs of people around you. Start seeing. Kindness begins with the eyes, the way you look, the way you see, your vision. Kindness starts with your eyes. Look at what it says. When he saw the man's condition. When he saw him. That's the starting point. If you want to learn to become a better person, to be a kinder person, you've got to change your vision. There's wounded people all over the world. There's wounded people sitting on the road next to you. And you don't know it because you don't have the vision to know it. And let me tell you something about America today, guys. Well, you want me to tell you why you don't know it? One of the biggest reasons? It's because we're in a big hurry. We're in a hurry to get out of here. We're in a hurry to go do this. We're in a hurry to do something else. We're in too big of a hurry to ever see what's going on around us. We've got to slow down and be able to see the things that are going on around us. We've got to slow down in life. Let me give you an example. Let's say I'm going from California to New York and I want to see all of America. Well, I'd fly, right? No, I wouldn't see any of America. Well, maybe I'd take a train. Well, you could see more, but still, you're not going to see all of it. And maybe take a automobile, a car, and I could go from New York to California, California, New York. Sure, but what would happen? I'm going to stop when I want to stop. There's places I don't think I want to stop. Let me ask you something. If you want to see all of America from California to New York, I didn't say it's practical, but if you want to see it, what's the deal? You're going to walk. You'll see all of America. My point is, slow down. Slow down. You got to start seeing the needs of people around you. Slow down. Nobody, 1 Corinthians 10:24, nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. Look out for the good of others. Look out. The first step of kindness is to ask God to give you a spiritual radar to look at people and determine and say, hey, do you need help? What's going on in your life? Now, I'm going to say something real quick here. Men, we are probably a lot worse at this than women are. Women sometimes have a radar, and there's some men, and I don't say that's all just a gender thing, but it is true. But we need to be able to look. You know, I remember coming home from church one night, and Lori said, Joe, did you see someone? Yeah, I saw her. Did you talk to her? Yeah, I talked to her. I said, hi, how are you? You, yeah, yeah, I did that thing. And you know what? She said, well, there's something wrong with her. Well, okay, if you say so. She called her, and sure enough, she was having an issue. I thought, well, you know, why didn't I see that? She saw it and I don't, because I don't have that in me. I don't have that spiritual radar. I need to work on that. You know, ask God to help me to see, first of all, see the needs of people around us. Guys, you're not going to go from here today or any day. I guarantee you're not going to go in on a robbery victim like that. Some of you might have. You know, some of you might have encountered some of that, but that's just not going to happen. My point is, there's other people that are hurting, and if I want to be kind, and if I want to show kindness, then that's what I've got to do. I've got to have that radar. I've got to be looking for it, not be in a hurry. I'll just give you some encouragement, because I don't know how y'all do it, but you're going to do the trunk or treat thing tonight. Look out for that. Look for people that are hurting. That's a great opportunity to do it. Now, I'm going to ask you, as we go through these qualities, rate yourself on 1 through 5. 1, I need a lot of work. 5, I'm doing great on this. How do you rate yourself on seeing the needs of others? 1 or 5? Let me put it to you another way. You got a blank sheet of paper this afternoon. Write down everybody you come in contact with on an every other day basis. Here are their names right here. On the other side of the column, what I want you to do, I want you to write down what they're dealing with right now that I need to pray for that person. How many of those would be blank? Just blank. Because we don't know, do we? We're in too big of a hurry. Rate yourself. Rate yourself on how well you're doing. Evaluate yourself. Bible says, Galatians 6:8, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from that flesh reap corruption. The one who sows to the Spirit will from that Spirit reap eternal life. The fact is, it's not always easy to see the needs of people around us. But that is the starting point of kindness. Kindness starts with the way you look. You got to be able to see people who are hurting. Number 2, the second thing the Good Samaritan did, he sympathized. Look at what it says there. When he came, when he saw him, he had what? Depends on the version, pity or compassion on him. Pity or compassion on him. That's what he did. See, first of all, I believe his eyes kicked in. And then I believe because he saw him and then he had compassion on him. Let me put this in terms, and I don't know if this is a right connection here, but if the starting point is seeing him, I believe the second starting point, or to really have sympathy on somebody, is to listen to them. That's what you have to do to have sympathy. You have to listen to them. Weep with those who weep. How do you do that? By being listeners, good listeners. Why do you think it is, and I'm not bashing social media all today, but why do you think it is it's so popular? Because finally I've got a forum that somebody's listening to me on. I can put it out there and somebody will comment on it. I'm starved for that. And people are starved for people to really actively listen to them. And we don't do it. We don't listen to them. When I ask you to listen to you, and here's the thing, when I ask you to listen to me, I don't need your advice. I do not need your advice. I can get advice from anywhere in the world. I can actually go in on ChatGPT, on AI, and I can put down all of my problems and I tell it to act as a therapist and it will give me a 3-page printout of what I need to do for all my problems. There, I got my advice. I don't need advice. Advice is not cheap anymore. Advice is free in America with the technology we have. That's not what I need. I need you just to listen to me. Sometimes kindness is just listening. There's a book by Joe Bailey called A View from a Hearse. I want to read this to you. He said he was sitting there talking about, well, listen, I was sitting torn by grief. Someone came along and they talked to me about God's dealing and why it happened. Hope beyond the grave. He talked constantly. He said things I knew were true. But I was unmoved, except to wish that he would go away. And he finally did. Then another one came and sat beside me. He didn't talk at all. He didn't ask me any leading questions. He just sat beside me for an hour or more, listened when I said something, answered briefly, prayed simply, and left. I was moved. I was comforted. I hated to see him go. Sympathy involves the ears. Listening is a form of kindness. It does two things. It validates two of your basic needs. It needs to be understood. The needs to have your feelings validated. Both of them, human needs. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You should love your neighbor as yourself. Do you like sympathy when you're hurt? When you're physically hurt, do you like sympathy? Yeah, you do. Do you like sympathy when you're hurting emotionally? Yes, you do. Do you like sympathy when you're going through things that are just horrible? Yes, you do. Of course you do. Then why doesn't somebody else? They do. And I think God allows problems in our lives to teach us these things. Matter of fact, I know he does, according to 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 4. But anyway, he says that. You notice there it says just by chance he's going down that side of the road. No, 2 Corinthians 1, verse, God who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. In other words, God doesn't waste a hurt, does he? He doesn't do it. We can't just say to them, straighten up, start acting right. No, we need to sympathize with them. Rate yourself on that. How good of a listener are you? How good of a listener are you? Again, men, it's just kind of like that. I don't mean to be bashing men today, but it's kind of, we aren't very good listeners. You know, the first thing, you know, Lord, is about halfway through a quiet conversation, you know, wife says, you never listen to men, you know. I said, well, that's a weird way to start a conversation. we need to listen. Seriously, we need to listen. And then the next thing, the Good Samaritan, the third thing, rate yourself on listening. But the next thing, how good are you at this? We have to seize the moment. Seize the moment to be kind. Don't wait. Don't delay. Don't procrastinate. Do it at that moment. Notice what it said in verse 34. He took action. He took the bandages and poured oil and wine on him. He took action. He didn't say, you know, bless your heart. Oh, I'm so sorry for you. He took action. Another thing, too, he went and talked to him. He didn't act like he was superior, but he took action, got eye to eye with him. Second, notice this about what he did. He used what he had. What did he have? He had wine to soothe to be an antiseptic on it, oil to soothe the wound. And then notice also, he said what? He bandaged him up. What did he use for bandages? He doesn't have one of those little first aid kits that has a little gauze in it, did he? He ripped his own clothes off, didn't he? He had to have. That's what he used for bandages. He used what he is. The point is, you use what he didn't call a professional. He didn't say, call 911. He said, I'm going to do what I can do at this moment. Now, let me pause just a moment here, too. We know if somebody in this church, you know if somebody is going through a bad time, and what do y'all do? Well, I can say it. You better call the preacher. He needs to go talk to them. Hey, preacher, you know, go talk to this person. Hey, elder, you need to go talk to this person. Bible doesn't say do this. It says you do it. You do it. Use what you can. I've heard, I know of men that and women that won't go visit somebody in the nursery. I just can't stand to see them in that condition. It's not about you. It's about them. It's not about you. Get off the you case and quit thinking about you and start thinking about what condition they're in. You use what you have. Go to the person in the hospital and stand there and say absolutely nothing because you don't know what to say. And that is more encouraging to that person than you not showing up because you don't know what to say. Just stand there. Say, hey, I'm here for you if you need me. Say a prayer. They'll love it. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to have the perfect words, and you don't have to sit there and call on the elder, call on the preacher, call somebody else to do it. He didn't do that. He used what he had and got after it. And that's what we need to do. Proverbs 3:27-28, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is within your power to act. Don't say to your neighbor, come back later, I'll give it to you tomorrow, when you have it with you now. Never walk away from somebody who deserves your help. The world is full of wounded people. They're wounded in all kinds of different ways. They're wounded in relations. We're wounded in this and that. And I tell you something. This guy loses his job. Oh, that's so, man, I hate to hear that. I'll call him tomorrow, the next week, when I, you know, reach out. We don't call him anymore. We reach out to him, if you don't know if you notice that. I'll reach out to him tomorrow, next week. No, you call him right then. When a woman has, when a couple has a miscarriage, or they lose a baby in some tragic way, guess what? You know, I think I'll just do, no, you do it now. You don't delay it. You do it now. Now, there's some profound lessons under this point that I want to make. And that's this. When you seize the moment, know this. Number one, you must be willing to be interrupted. Period. Guess what, guys? I'm going to go home this afternoon here in a few minutes. I'm going to head back to... Well, actually, I'm not going home. I'm going to Duke for a singing tonight. Anyway. And guess what? At 2:19 on the turnpike out here, I've got scheduled... There's a little old lady that's going to have a flat on the side of the road. And I'm going to schedule... I've got that scheduled into my thing. Is that the way it works? No, you have to be willing to interrupt it. That's what makes it an act of kindness. You don't schedule these things. You got to be willing to interrupt it. You look at the Good Samaritan and think of this. He had a big business meeting to go to. How many times have you not done an act of kindness because it interrupts your schedule? And your business is a lot more important than his business. He could have said that. Think of the excuses he could have had. I've got my own problems. You know, my business is more important. Besides, the guy's probably dead anyway. You know, anytime you need an excuse not to do a kind act, Satan will give you one of those excuses. So what's your excuse? What's your excuse? Look back, first verse. There was a man going down Jerusalem, Jericho, when his robbers attacked him, stripped him, beat him, leaving him half dead. It just so happened, or ESV says, by chance, luck of the draw. No, it wouldn't happen. God puts people in our way all the time so that we can show these acts of kindness. God brings these people in our lives so he can show these acts of kindness. It will happen to you today. It might be a waiter or a waitress. It might be somebody behind the counter. It might be somebody that's just across the way. You don't know, but you can show care and concern and acts of kindness to them. He's putting them in the way. We've just got to find them. It might be the serviceman. It might be whoever. We have to be willing to be interrupted and say something to them. I was getting gas at a gas station on Thursday in Oklahoma City. I was up there doing some business, and I noticed this guy over there, a young guy, and he had one of those motorcycles. I don't know. I call them rice rockets. They're the ones they lean over and go real fast thing. And he was kind of bummed up on the one side of, hey, man, what happened to you? And we talked for 20 minutes. He'd been cut off. He laid the thing over, and he got all bummed up. I don't know if it did him any good, but I did listen to him. I didn't envy him, though. But I did listen to him. But you've got to be willing to be interrupted. And the other thing, too, is this. You've got to be willing to take risk. To be kind, you've got to be willing to take risk. But fear is what gets in our way so much of the time. And look at the fears this guy could have used. Number one, what if the guy, I go over there, really, he's not really beaten up. This is all a decoy. The robbers are all over here and they're hiding it. And they're going to come out and get me. What if that happens? What if I get over there and that happens? If I get over there and like I said earlier, he's already dead. What good is that going to do? What if I get over there and he rejects me? You know, I'm a Samaritan. He's a Jew. If you notice at the end of this conversation with the lawyer, the guy doesn't say the Samaritan helped him. You notice that? He never uses those terms because he couldn't say that word because he hates him so much. What if I get over there and they reject me and he says I'm dumb and all this stuff? Get away from me. That's legitimate. And today, what if we'd say if I get over there and I help them and they do what? You know what it is today. They sue me. Legitimate fear, legitimate fear. All those are legitimate fears. I've got to be willing to take risks, but I'm going to end with this fear on this part of this message. Listen to this, guys. The biggest fear we have a lot of times that we don't want to get involved in other people's life is this. We fear if I go over here and get connected and get hooked up in this, it's going to bring back the pain and the hurt that I felt going through that. if I go and I talk to these people about losing a baby that was full term, supposed to be born May 31st, and it was born asleep. That's why I wear the bracelet, okay? Still got his name on it, Jensen. And he's born asleep. And I don't want to go talk to him because I know I'll cry. I'll cry when I get to that. That's what I'll do. I don't want to do that. I'm going to push that down. God said, no, I don't waste a hurt. The ministry that came to you and the care that came to you is what you need to go use to them now. And if those fears and if those things are still bubbling up inside you, you need to do something about that and get rid of them. You know, I don't want to deal with the pain again. I haven't dealt with that. We need to deal with that pain so that we can use what we use to get through that situation to go to that one. Okay? There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Jesus says, and you know what it says in Matthew 7:12, treat others like you want to be treated. And then again, 1 Corinthians 14:11, let love be your greatest aim. So rate yourself. How good are you on spontaneous? How good are you? And then the last one is this. Very last point I want to make. Spend whatever it takes. Then the Good Samaritan put him on his donkey. And by the way, did it say donkeys? So what did the Good Samaritan do? He walked, didn't he? He handed the innkeeper 2 pieces of silver, 2 denarii. The bell runs higher than this. I'll put it on next time. You want me to put that in modern terms? Gave him his credit card. Okay. We just solved all the denarii and coming back pay. First of all, he ministers to it, and then he takes him to a motel, and then he walks. He spends all he can. He does all that. What did he gain from this? What does Jesus say that the Good Samaritan gained from this? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Know this and know it for sure, guys. If you're doing an act of kindness, you're getting something back. It's not kindness. Let me tell you something. Again, dads, if you're teaching your son to ride a bike, if you're teaching your son to mow the lawn, if you're teaching your son to do all these different things, or you're just going to go move some furniture for him or do something like that, you know, oh, wow, that's an act of kindness. No, that's you being a dad. That's you being a dad. That's your dad's duties. Acts of kindness are when there's nothing in return. Nothing in return. Acts of kindness. Now, your son might see it as an act of kindness when they're older and you're having to move the furniture for them. That's different. But when you're raising that child, or when you're raising, or you're doing the different things that are your duties as a Christian man or woman to do, those are one thing. When you're getting things in return and getting some reciprocal, that's one thing. Acts of kindness are when you expect nothing and you get nothing in return. Just like the Good Samaritan did. He got nothing in return. So why should I do it? Nobody's going to repay me. Well, God's been kind to me. Bible says kindness is an act of worship. It honors God, makes us happy. Bible says kindness makes people want to be kind to us. The Bible says that Christ, like I said, God has been kind to me through an act of kindness that I could never repay in sending his son to die on the cross for our sins. What an act of kindness. But know this in Isaiah 58:10-11, if you spend yourself in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the need of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He'll satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You'll be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose water never fails. When you assume the responsibility for the needs of hurting people around you, God says, I'll meet your needs. Your soul is nourished when you are kind. Now, let me end everything I've got to say on one thing. There's one verse in the Bible, had to get to it, about kindness. Therefore, as we have opportunity, Galatians 6:10, let us do good or be kind to all men. So that means as we go from this place today, we have an opportunity to do kindness. And I've gone over some things today where we can do all kinds of kindness. But what does Paul say in the rest of Galatians there? He says these very words. Listen, therefore, as we have opportunity, let's do good to all men, especially the household of faith. That means us. Guys, some of the most unkind things I've seen are among brothers and sisters in Christ. And that ought not to be so. He says when we have an opportunity to do kind, first of all, especially between us. Let me tell you why. Nobody wants to be a part of this church, a part of any kind of civic organization, a team, if they're not able to get along. If they see us doing acts of kindness to one another, to having all things and in one accord, guess what? You don't have enough pews and benches and seats here for the people that will come. When we start doing what it says here in the Bible of acts of kindness for one another, they'll want to be part of this. You won't keep them out. And that's my thoughts for today. Like I said earlier, the acts of kindness that God did for us is something extraordinary. And the only way I can come in contact with that, the blood of Christ, is to believe that Jesus was the Son of God, is the Son of God. To repent of my sins, confess, and put him on in baptism. If you're here this morning and you need that, or maybe you need the prayers of church, I don't know what your needs are. Let us know as together we stand and sing.
All our sins and griefs to bear.